This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to bring in Rick DiPietro, Humpty, from the old days. I want to bring him in to talk about what we saw yesterday, because he certainly can relate.
Listen, I can menage and twat my face off. I just don't know. Can we do three? Can we afford three?
I've seen it. So, yes, I can confirm. But I want to bring in, just beyond the scope of the hockey stuff that's going on right now, I think the score just flashed up on the screen. It's 2-2 right after two periods?
2-2, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So intermission 2-2. A puck drop at 11 a.m. for a Stanley Cup playoff game, by the way.
It's the best.
I mean, it's like youth hockey back in the old days, like with Marlboro and some dirty ice. You got to love it.
You got to love it. 10 rinks. I'm telling you right now, if I played every game at 11 a.m., I might be in the league still.
See, you see, some guys don't like the early start. I wondered how this would affect players to start that early. But you say that actually it's a better thing?
No, I think it's player to player. I loved it. Yeah. I mean, my biggest...
But you hated waiting all day, right?
That's my biggest obstacle was waiting all day. Yeah, but by the time 7 o'clock hit, I was so mentally drained from going over every single possible outcome in my head that I was like, can we drop the puck already? So you give me the chance to wake up, eat some pancakes, and get on the ice, I'm good.
Definitely pancakes. No question about that. All right, so let's start there then, because I did want to get into the college football thing with you and what I had said, and I know you've got kids, and I wonder how you'd react, and you obviously were a college athlete as well, so you can react to it this way. But let's first talk about what we saw yesterday. And you can relate. I know you hate talking about it. It's one of your great moments, yet you've always told me it's not a good memory for you because of the result. So you have 77 saves in a regional final in college for BU. And was that four overtimes? How many overtimes did that game go? Four overtimes. Four, yep. In a game that was almost 6 hours long, right?
And it was long. Yeah, I don't even remember how long.
And you end up losing the game 3-2, which is a heartbreaker, of course, but 77 saves. I mean, you faced 80 shots in that game and you lose. Now, the same thing happens to Corpusalo yesterday for the Blue Jackets, where he just plays out of his mind, breaks the record. I actually was wondering if he was going to get to 100 at one point. And yet loses the game. It's a game one, though, out of a best of it's a best of seven. There's plenty more to go here, but all the talk has been like it could be such a gut wrenching loss that it could affect them long term. What do you think?
Well, I think first of all, I mean the physical aspect. I mean, you had Seth Jones play over 65 minutes,
yeah.
So I mean they're going to play tomorrow. So I mean the physical toll it takes on you. But I mean, as far as the mental is concerned, I mean let's not forget, this was the Columbus team that swept the Tampa Bay Lightning last year. After Tampa's unbelievable regular season, they get swept. So, I mean, right. They remember exactly, what happened. I mean, I think it's probably worse if it's the other way around. I mean, you'd be devastated. The way that Tampa carried that play, if all of a sudden they find a way to lose that game in the fifth overtime, after what happened last season, you're like, I mean, this is just not meant to be. But
wow. That's a good point, too.
I think with Tortorella, the way he coaches, they'll bounce back. Tampa's clearly the better team, and the only reason that game went as long as it went is because Corpusalo was unbelievable, dude. I mean, that was goaltending at its finest. It really was. Vasilevsky was good too.
Well, yeah, he almost got this. What, the 60 was the 63 saves he had, and it felt like 60,
I want to say 61.
It was like he had light work. Yeah, he had 61, right. He played 63 shots, but 61 saves for him, and yeah, again, light work, but. The 85, and again, for historical reference, by the way, and since we're talking with Rick, it's an Islander reference. Kelly Rudy had the original record of most saves in a game, 73 for the Islanders in 1987. You were six. Game seven, though, this was a game seven. That was against the Easter Epic. That was the Pat LaFontaine amazing goal in that game. But 85 saves in a game. You also have told the story. I know I've heard this about from others as well. How much sweat, how heavy the gear gets, what you do between periods, all those things. Your recollection of what you went through in your marathon game where you had the 77 saves. I think you said you once took your skate off and poured the sweat water out of the skate?
Dumped it out of the skate, yeah. Like my equipment. I couldn't even imagine if you weighed my equipment. Because I didn't take from my waist down, I didn't take any of my equipment off during the entire game. So by the time the game was over,
it smelled great.
Oh, dude, it's disgusting. There's nothing worse than the smell of hockey equipment. It's disgusting.
Hockey gear, yeah.
So, but I had the wool socks that you wear under your pads. Like how much water those retain. So I had those. I had my skates, my pads. We had guys miss entire overtimes getting IVs because they were all cramped up, and then they would come back. I mean, it's at that point it just becomes a battle of attrition. And it ends up being some kind of like, You saw the goal yesterday. Crazy. It seems like an innocent play. Point gets the puck. It's up on edge, which is, I mean, the hardest shot to save because it kind of ends up knuckling on you. And then that's it. Game over.
Yeah, and it was a shame that it went that way. That's why I reached that point where I was rooting. You have no rooting interest in this game, but then I started rooting for Corpusalo just because of, you know, what he was doing. And you just didn't want to see it end for him that way. You wanted to see it end in a win. And I thought of you immediately. That's why I texted you. And you said something I thought very interesting to me. You were watching the game, and you felt a certain way.
Dude, I was a nervous wreck watching that game. I mean, the level of anxiety. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there watching, and I found myself getting nervous. And I was like, why am I getting nervous? I could care less who wins this game. But it's just for the exact reason you said, because Corpusalo was playing so good, and Vasilevskiy was playing so good. You didn't want to, I mean, and the action was back and forth. I mean, it slowed down a little bit in the fifth overtime, but it was still up and down the ice. Maybe I just didn't want it to end because I enjoyed watching it so much.
That's a great point, too, is that you didn't want it to end. You wanted to see how much longer it could go. It got real close to being one of the longest games in NHL playoff history. All right, so based off this now, Mike Milbury was doing the game. You and I both know Mike very well. And he made a comment, and it went viral, and people are flipping out about it.
Give him the gas face!
Anthony definitely wants to give him the gas face. Now you and I
may
both
or may not have given him the gas face at some point.
I've heard these stories.
Career, yeah.
But he said enough is enough, and thought maybe playoff games should be ending sooner. Maybe you go to a 3-on-3 or a shootout after a certain amount of time, because these marathon games, it's too much. It's not right, especially in the bubble. What do you think of this?
Well, no, I mean, it's not fair to Carolina in Boston having to sit there. I mean, I remember during our game, I looked over at one point, I think it was Michigan playing after us.
That's
and the
right.
Guys
you
are standing
guys
there. And,
yeah.
Oh, they're standing there in half gear eating pizza because they were hungry. They had to order pizza into the locker room so they could eat something. They still had to play. It's probably not fair to those teams, but at that point, I couldn't disagree with him more. I mean, this is why you play. You play to compete and win, you know, these games to get yourself to the Stanley Cup. The last thing I would want is to have this thing go to a 3-on-3. Because, that's fugazi to me, man. I mean, this is the playoffs. It's got to be the way it was meant to be. It's 5-on-5. If you get a power play, you get a power play. But other than that, no, you keep this thing going. That was awesome to watch.
Yeah, and this is Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And let me point this out, too. These games are Haley's Comets. I mean, you know, let's be honest. You're going past four overtimes. You don't see this that often.
But Alan, let me ask you a question. Honest to God, and I did the national show this morning. If this game didn't go five overtimes and Corpusalo didn't have 85 saves, would national sports talk shows
100%
be talking about hockey? No.
You're so right. And this, if you're Gary Bettman, that you wanted this game to keep going. You wanted, if you're the league, if you're owners, I don't care if you're the owners of the Hurricanes and the Bruins, you wanted to see that. You wanted to see that. I heard the Bruins players were watching and cheering.
You can't help it. Yeah,
like they were loving it.
I'll tell you this, though. If I'm Tuukka Rask or I'm Mrazek and I'm sitting in my goalie gear for 3 hours, I'm MFing the TV. I'm like,
well, that's
sons,
not great.
Get me, either cancel this game or get, I can't sit in my equipment any longer. This is too much. It's like when the ice melted. Remember the game, the ice melted?
Yes.
At the Coliseum?
Yes.
And we're sitting there in our equipment for like 2.5 hours. And like,
yeah.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Team where the ice isn't down to the concrete, you guys will warm up on this side, and then we're gonna take some plastic fence and put it around the spots on the ice that are down to the, just avoid those, you'll be fine, just avoid those. Meanwhile, my crease is completely down to the cement in the net, swimming around the, I needed a snorkel to play in that game.
Mutant League hockey where you just fall through the ice, that's basically how it works. But no, these don't happen often. And so when they do, they become that novelty. And you're right. I think it does create something you don't ever see in sports. You don't. I mean, you'll see in baseball the 20-inning game on a rare occasion. And while other people will complain, well, you just blew out your bullpen and this isn't good. You know, if you're playing regular season, completely understand. Playoffs? No. You're playing for something? No way. Like baseball. Do you really want to see in baseball playoffs a guy start at second base?
No. Absolutely
no.
Not.
Right,
no,
so I think for the playoffs, you should have it where it's last man standing. It's whatever it takes to win the game based on the rules of the game and no other novelties that are thrown into it.
And you're still, with hockey, you're still seeing the best of the best. I mean, unless someone cramps up and has to go into the locker room for an IV, you're still seeing the best players play. This isn't a situation where you're so deep
point.
You're
not pulling your goalie and putting your third string in. The Zamboni guy's not coming in to play goalie in the fifth overtime because your first goalie's worn out. He's staying.
No, yeah. Exactly right. And if it's not five overtimes, you didn't see what you saw last night. There's no way it's being mentioned in the Sports Center with Dame Lillard scoring 61. There's
I love, when you talk basketball. I get all excited. Talking about
I had your boy on today tell me that Kyle Kuzma is the fifth best player in the bubble. I almost
threw
up.
Well, he said Kuzman, which I still don't know who Kuzman is.
It's a CMOS.
It's funny. I was texting both of you because I was trying to get him like on point, and I was also trying. Like it was so funny. I thought it was a funny segment because he sounds like he's like Michael Buffer when you get him into doing like when Bart. So Bart and Rick, if people don't know, Bart and Rick with Dave Rothenberg are doing the morning show this week, and so it's like. I'm jealous of Dave because I'd love to be point guard for that. Because basically you just throw it. It's like basically being point guard for like LeBron and Anthony Davis. Just throw it at the rim and let them just alley-oop.
Chew it and do it.
Yeah. And so you, so they did a top five players in the bubble. And instead of Bart just reading the list, like, I got this guy, I got this guy. He's reading it like Michael Buffer. Like, he's all fired up. He's announcing the lineup for you. And then he calls him Kyle Kuzman.
Kyle Kuzman and then TJ Warren was the knockoff Kawhi Leonard with his hairstyle.
He called him.
And then how about he goes, Dame, Dalla, Dummy Dame, and I'm calling him Dummy because he's going stupid in the bubble.
Yeah, his energy is off the charts. But with that in mind, did you hear this about the memo that's going around now about the NBA will, once they get to the conference semifinals, as they negotiated, family, because they'd be kicking teams out of the bubble. Well, we still got space in the bubble now. So now you could start bringing families into the bubble. But it's, also if it's not family, it has to be a legit relationship. And they're suggesting not somebody you met on social media.
Define
so I'm wondering,
relationship.
Like, who's the, well, that's the, I think it's somebody you can prove. They literally said you can prove you've had a long-term relationship. You have to be able to prove it. And so I'm wondering, like, the first player that read that memo went, damn.
You act like that's not a problem, though. I mean, you laugh, you think this is funny. I mean, there's a reason why there's a memo. I mean, we had a couple different instances where we had to have a players-only meeting because, one of the young guys thought it was a good idea to go to the strip club and give the strippers his tickets in the wife section.
Oh, no, that's...
So all of a sudden, yeah. I mean, that's the last thing you want to do is...
Was that wrong? Did he say that? Like, was that wrong? Should
yeah,
I
he's
have
like,
not
that,
done
that,
that
was... I mean, what else was I supposed to do? We're like, well, you can get them tickets. Don't put them in the beehive with the wives, and all of a sudden they come dressed up like strippers. I mean, what do you expect is going to happen?
And they know every player by name. That's not good either.
Yeah, I remember him. He was there last night. I gave him a lap dance. Excuse me? You gave who? No, him right there. Number 39. Yep, him.
Right,
that one.
Right. But like the player has like a very specific nickname that doesn't sound like, I know all hockey players, it's always like their last name in ER or Y, but some of them also just have another name that has nothing to do with their real name. Like my favorite, Jesper Fast, they call him Quickie.
Quickie, yeah.
Like it would be hilarious if one of them's just like, oh, there's Quickie. It's like, how do you know that?
There's that Quickie, wink, wink.
It yeah, exactly.
Yesterday. Great tipper, by the way. That's just what you want.
But phrasing.
The best part is, though, is that in this, not only do you have to prove the relationship, the ESPN report has one GM saying that their concern was that some of the casual acquaintance could create problems within the team or also with other teams. Because imagine if, I invite in my IG model that I just met, and she's in the bubble staying in my, whatever, that's my accommodation, right?
And she ends up in someone else's room.
That's what I'm saying. I got a game. And all of a sudden, we've got, we got, like you said, a little menage a trois, your face off. Like,
oh, you don't think that would happen? Stop.
What do you mean? I don't think that'll happen. Of course that's happening. Of course that's happening. They want to avoid that. I just find, like, this is the world we're in. This is the reality we're in right now in sports. I'm here for it, though. I'm definitely all for it. All right. Last thing for you, Rico, and thanks for giving me a few minutes. I know you worked all morning.
I got plenty
and
of time,
I'm
buddy.
Just happy this that is, your I, internet is back
I,
and everything.
I need
working.
To spread my wings and fly, brother. I've been off for too many days.
Well, we've got... Well, the other story is we had Greg McElroy on just a few minutes ago, and we're talking about college football. And I know how I would feel about this. And if the schools are going to have students on campus, to not have football... Like, it's one thing if you're just doing the online thing. Like, we were talking... I think our criticism was, if you're not opening the campus and you want to play football, that's wrong. You can't tell players you can come on campus, but no other student's going to come on campus just because we want to play football. It's different.
That's actually safer, though, if you think about it.
Well, it could be, but again, it just looks wrong because now it's like, hey, we need the revenue, so here, come play, but nobody else can come on campus. But if you're opening the campus, then open the campus. To not play football, or to, at least to not include the athlete in the decision. I know this. If this was a situation with Zach, and he, you know, was whether he's going to play or not, they wanted me to sign a waiver, which, by the way, I've done all summer. The several rinks that he's played in this summer, I've had to sign a waiver. It's just, that's just how it is.
Yep.
Sign a waiver. It has COVID in the paragraph. You have to do it. I think it would be better to let the player decide. And if he doesn't want to, well, okay, you don't lose your scholarship. You don't lose your eligibility. This is up to you, because this is an extenuating circumstance. I just feel like, why is it that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are deciding, shut it all down, don't play anything at all, but let's have students on campus, because we all know that college students are really good at socially distancing.
Well, I mean, you said it makes no sense, and usually when it makes no sense, it makes money. I mean, it comes down to a money issue.
Well, it's going
to
lose everybody money.
Well, it is, and I think the big disconnect for me and what drives me crazy is that you have the two conferences, you know, having, you know, their doctors say it's not safe, and then you have three that say, you know, doctors saying, you know, it's going to be difficult, but we can get through it safe. I mean, there shouldn't be that kind of disconnect. I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I just think there's so many questions, and the more I read about, you know, this heart condition and some of the tests they've been doing.
Of course.
It just, with football especially, I don't know if the numbers apply necessarily, like that small percentage of people that age that are in good shape that, you know, that unfortunately have died.
But you also
COVID.
Have the benefit of regular testing, of having
cleaning
the areas and stuff like that.
I
think Saban said, they're probably safer in our facility than out of it.
But they're not staying in the facility 24 hours a day. And you're not talking, I mean, there are guys that are, you know, you got your starting quarterback, you got your the best of the best, but you're still counting on every single one of the guys on that team to do the right thing every single day. Mm-hmm. There's going to be guys on campus that have girlfriends. They're not going to see their girlfriends. What are their girlfriends doing? Are they doing all the right things? Are they socially distancing? And with the incubation period of this and everything else?
Mm-hmm.
I would be afraid that even with all the right testing and everything else, just the sheer size in weight of offensive linemen, defensive linemen, I would be scared to death that on my watch, something that we could have avoided, you could avoid it by just saying, you know, we don't have enough answers yet, that God forbid one of these kids passed away and having to live with that.
Well, the SEC and ACC certainly seem pretty comfortable with it. Big 12 as well, so they're going to play, and I guess we'll only know. Time will tell, right?
They say they're going to play. Their plan is to play.
Oh, no, the schedule's out. I feel like they're
going full steam ahead. Well, but so was the Big Ten schedule was out. Yeah, the Big Ten schedule was out.
Yeah, that's fair. I just feel like they're going to go full steam ahead. I don't think that they're going to stop on this one. All right, two more things, and we'll go back to hockey. Number one, Rangers get swept but still win from losing. They win the lottery. So now, I mean, this is, you have to admit, they are really set up well, are they not? I mean, they have the number two pick in Capo, who I thought looked really good in the restart. Now they'll get Lafreniere, who, if you've seen him play, he's got eyes in the back of his head. He's got amazing vision. And for a winger, I think he plays like a center. He's a playmaker more than he really is a goal scorer. And he's got the size and the compete level. I think he might be able to play right away. And you have the goalie. I think they are set up for the future. So a sweep doesn't necessarily for them look like an embarrassing result in the bubble. I actually think it's a good experience. And they are set up to be a successful franchise now going forward. Do you agree?
I agree 100%. I mean, and listen, I get, you know, I got a bunch of friends that are Rangers fans, and they were upset with how the team looked against Carolina. But, I mean, when you start looking at some of those games and in the circumstances surrounding some of those games,
yeah.
I mean, talk about a bad start. I mean, Foss gets knocked out and then has to stay on the ice, and they score, I mean, that quickly into a game. You can't play Shesterkin, who you clearly saw made a difference with his puck handling and everything else in the last game. The fact that Reimer played as good as he played in the third game was – I actually was getting upset because I had no internet and I had no cell phone, and I'm sitting there watching the game. I wanted to text Coach Quinn and say, could you please shoot just above his pad on the blocker side? Please, stop shooting. You're not shooting in the right spots to score on this guy. And then – when you look at them moving forward and you forecast what they're going to be, I mean, you got a guy who's in the MVP conversation. You got, in my opinion, a guy who should have probably won the Selke, which is Zibanejad.
Yep.
And you got Kako, who looked good. And then you're going to have the first overall pick. I would also keep an eye on, too, Quinton Byfield, by the way. Big,
really?
Big, huge center. Big physical center. They could use more centers. I mean, I don't love the fact that you're going to take another wing, but...
He doesn't. If you watch him play, and you know this is the same year as my son, so it's like I've seen him play, he's He's a really talented playmaker.
You build your team up the middle.
Of course.
You're still talking about face-offs. You're still talking about, you know, D-zone coverage. Where your center becomes important. I mean, I get it. You're going to take the best guy available, the guy who fits you right and the guy you like, but that's the beauty of having the first overall pick. You get to decide.
All right, you know what? We haven't done this in years. Let's take a call. Let's take Mike in Hawthorne, Rico. Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for being here. Rick, I just popped up what you guys were talking about with these are college kids at school and why they're canceling. My son is a Division III player out in a small school in Pennsylvania, and they canceled the whole season for every reason. But we just got something in the mail, and I told the screener I would be cautious about how I put it. But basically, they were saying that if you're going to have relations with your partner, to get into creative positions, and if you must be face to face, make sure you wear a mask. My wife and I almost crapped ourselves. I was like, this is 2020, where we're getting letters to about our kids that we're paying $50,000 a year for college, and I got to have a conversation with my son about what creative positioning is. It was unbelievable. I knew you guys would get a kick out of it.
Mike, I appreciate it. I'll tell you what, Mike, I bet most of my girlfriends in college wish I was wearing a mask.
You'd have been a lot more popular.
I think so.
Have a good day, but
appreciate you, man.
Crazy where we're at these days. Be well. Take care.
Thanks so much. I mean, the first thing I thought of was like, damn, I would have done a lot better if I had that mask. If I had that mask excuse instead of like, what's
you
that creepo doing with a mask on?
Listen, it might up your game too a little bit. Force you get a little creative.
It's all eyes now. At that point, you don't have to say anything. Just straight up. Just straight up.
You have to channel your inner sting.
Yeah.
A little tantra.
Yeah. Or tantrum. All depends.
Yeah, what happened to Rick? Rick was trying to be creative, and he
creative
tore
positioning.
He tore a hamstring.
That's right. For you, it would be that. It would be that you missed a few games because of creative positioning.
I was looking out for the health and well-being of my teammates. What can I say?
Oh, my God. All right, this 3-3. Oh, my God. So this game might go to overtime. 3-3
now. Let's be honest. I know you're an NBA guy. Is there anything in Z-Bo plays hockey, and I love Z-Bo. Is there really... But to be honest now, don't play the NBA card. Is there anything better than playoff hockey? Come on.
No, there's no. I'm glued to this. Are you kidding me?
It's
the best thing about yesterday was the fact that you couldn't. I know Winthrop said this, and he hates hockey. The best thing about this is you didn't want to take your eyes off it. The Yankees started. The Mets started. There was Damian Lillard was going for 61. I wasn't turning. I was not changing the channel. The best thing for the NHL was that was the game to watch. That was your, I know you've got like seven TVs. That was your main TV screen.
Right? I couldn't turn it off. I mean, no. Winter probably couldn't even get into like, you know, ironing and folding all his Disney T-shirts. He was probably so into it.
Disney Mom Life, actually, I think they postponed their episode because he got caught up in this.
They were going to make some more sensory bags.
We're super late, but I can't let you go without a prediction. Islanders Capitals, 3 o'clock. What do you got?
Islanders Capitals, 3 o'clock. I'm still waiting to hear what's going on with John Carlson. He's a huge piece.
Yeah, he did practice.
Well, he did practice. I'm sure he'll play. Hedman played yesterday. But, I mean, I've listened to you a couple different times. You're 100% right. I mean, the Islanders have to stay out of the penalty box. If this is going to be a series, they have to. If they take as many penalties as they did against the Capitals with Florida, they're in huge trouble.
Yeah. That's the main thing there. Rico, got to run. Always great to talk to you, my brother.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.